Westside Baptist Church in Newnan, Georgia, brings you our weekly podcast. We hope you will be encouraged by our music and a message from the Word of God as we present our Sunday morning and Sunday evening services and our weekly broadcast by Dr. Melvin Payne. We thank you for listening.
Aren't you glad we got victory in Jesus? Right, amen. Amen, amen.
Oh, how could you? Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention? I want to introduce to you in this corner of the good and the right stands a champion robed in white. His height exceeds the heavens, his weight outweighs the world, his reach reaches everywhere, his age is evermore.
He is higher than the highest, greater than the great. No one could ever take his crown away.
He's more mighty than the mightiest.
He reigns from above. He's the all-time undisputed, undefeated champion of love.
He left his hometown to enter this arena to raise his hands in victory for me. An angry crowd crucified this king who wore the crown and gladly watched a champion going down. But I will never count him out, for I'm a witness of the day he rose to retain the title champion of love.
He is higher than the highest, greater than the great. No one could ever take his crown away.
He's more mighty than mightiest.
He reigns from above. He is higher than the highest, greater than the great. No one could ever take his crown away.
He's more mighty than the mightiest.
He reigns.
Bibles, turn to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5. I want to speak to you just for a few moments. If you've ever preached, you consider what the Lord gave you and you go, well, Lord, that sure is shallow. Or that sure isn't, you know, what I'd want to hear if I got up on Sunday morning and went to church. I think I'd want to hear something a little bit more dynamic. But I threw this message, so to speak, in the can about half a dozen times since Friday and turned around and took it back out. So you bear with me, and I'll bear with you. I spent time here on this altar and in this place yesterday evening, asking God what he wanted. And he would not let me turn loose of this simplistic message. And I just have to preach it, and maybe you can get something out of it. It's God's word. He says it won't come back void. So all I can do is give you what he has told me to give to you today. Ephesians chapter 5, and I think I'm going to start here in verse 10, and we'll go through 16, maybe 17, I don't know. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Now, before I move on, in verse 16, we are encouraged to redeem the time, make good on the time. I guess it's been a few months or so ago I spoke specifically about time, if my memory serves me correctly. I know that in 09 I preached a message on time. But in this case, I'm talking about making good on the time that God has given us. And so as I consider that verse, redeeming the time because the days are evil, I glanced up and saw verse 10. Because all of a sudden, it wasn't just about redeeming the time, but I saw a little instruction here of how we may redeem the time, that we can make good of the time that God has so graciously given us. Verse 10, it says, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Now, that to me is the first step here of how we can make good, do good in and for the time that God has given us. That we have no fellowship with those things that are unfruitful, those things that will not help you, those things that will discourage you, those things that will drag you down spiritually. And I have to say that very clearly, because I said prior, those things that discourage you. The problem is Satan disguises things in such a way that it many times things look like they may be enjoyable. Things that, well, this won't affect me spiritually, but nevertheless, we are told to redeem our time, and one great instructive avenue here is to have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness. If we find ourselves in the mode of something that we know will not prosper us spiritually, it will not draw us closer to the Lord, it could cause someone else to go down, maybe a Christian that's trying to grow to be discouraged, maybe a Christian that is watching our lives. And the Bible is saying here, if you want to redeem the time that God has given you, then stay away from the things of this world. The things, the fellowship, the unfruitful works of darkness. Then comes the hard part. Here's where the Christian must grow a backbone. It says, but rather reprove them. Don't participate. Don't hesitate. Don't yield. But reprove. And when you reprove, don't do it slowly. If you don't reprove and do it quickly, you may yield. You may hesitate. But here, if we want to redeem the time that God has given us, we must reprove that sin which is unfruitful and damaging to a Christian. Amen. So have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. I want to say to you, Christian, to have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness means that you may break fellowship with those that are practicing the unfruitful works of darkness. It's time we stand up and separate ourselves as God's children. Excuse me. I'm not talking to you this morning that we are speaking that or telling you that we should have a belligerent attitude or an arrogant tone, but I am saying that we're to steer clear of those that willingly and habitually live in sin. If you hang around them long enough, you'll be doing exactly what they're doing. Our job, according to the end of verse 11, is to reprove and rebuke those that are engaging in these unfruitful works. Man, hello, are you with me this morning? You see, I love to stand and to preach. I love to stand and pray. I love to stand and praise. But I tell you, today we need to look a little deeper, Westside Baptist Church. Verse 12, for it is a shame even to speak those things which are done of them in secret. I tell you, folks, if we can't do it in front of God and feel good about it, we shouldn't do it. And I tell you, if you can't do it in front of your Sunday school teacher and feel good about it, you shouldn't do it. If you do it and the preacher finds out about it and you think it might be a tad embarrassing, then maybe you shouldn't do it. But most of all, we must come to the realization, and this is where we've dropped the ball. We have not come to the realization that everything we do is before God. When the preacher can't see it, God sees it. When the Sunday school teacher can't see it, God sees it. When mama and daddy don't see it, God sees it. And you know, we serve a merciful God, a gracious God, but we also serve a God that loves his children. He loves them enough to share his graciousness. He loves them enough to show his mercy, but he also loves them enough to spank them. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by light, by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest, I'm sorry, folks, let's go back. But all things that are reproved are manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, now listen to this. We're talking about redeeming the time, right? Awake thou that sleepest. Wake up, Westside Baptist Church. Wake up. Too many times we're falling asleep at the switch. And the Bible here in Ephesians 5:14 is saying, wake up. Thou that sleepest. And then he instructs, and arise. Get going. Don't just sit there. Do something for me. Because he doesn't just say arise, but he says, arise from the what? From the dead. Do we not understand that we're not redeeming the time if we're dead spiritually? And Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. In other words, if we're walking as fools, we're not redeeming the time. We're demeaning the time. We're demeaning the time. We're bad-mouthing the time. We're casting down the time. We're debasing the time. We're decrying the time. We're despising the time. We're disparaging the time. We're dumping on the time. We're knocking down the time that God has given us if we're demeaning rather than redeeming the time. There's some areas in my life and times in my life that I appreciate people, God's people, redeeming the time rather than demeaning the time. Growing up, I appreciate mom and dad for redeeming the time in instruction. I didn't always listen to the instruction, but they always gave instruction. Parents, our job is to give godly instruction. If our kids are rebellious and they're dumb enough not to take heed to the instruction, that's not your doing. Our job is to give instruction. What they do with it is between them and God. And I want to say to you that God will beat the devil out of them. Daddy and mama can't always do it. But God will, his time is sure to come. He'll do his job, and he'll beat it out of him. The time, I'm glad they redeemed the time. Glad mama, she'd redeemed the time. I can remember falling down. I remember, and you probably do as a kid, your feet get in front of you. You're trying to run faster than your abilities, and you start stumbling, and you fall knees and hands first. Aren't you glad mama was there to redeem the time when she kissed your boo-boos better? You kissed your hands and maybe put a Band-Aid. Aren't you glad that they were there to redeem the time? You glad they were there? I want to tell you something I appreciate, mom and dad. They redeemed the time. They showed us places in different parts of this country. We saw things in person that 99.9% of all other children were reading about in the history books. And so I appreciate the fact that mom and dad could do that for us. I appreciate that they're always encouraging. Folks, I can get up here and drool a little bit and fall asleep up here, and dad would still say, man, that was a good message. I can get up here and blow it, And he, man, that was a good message. I appreciate the lie, amen, every now and then. I appreciate moms and dads. And I appreciate my mom and dad that redeemed the time when they showed unconditional forgiveness and love for me and my sisters. I appreciate them redeeming the time. I remember a few years ago, we were over in the gym getting ready for camp meeting. And one of the spotlights had blown out. So I grabbed that ladder, and right there at the beam, with no wall behind the ladder, stretched that ladder up, and it was about at its length. And as far as it would go, I think. And it barely touched the beam up there. And there were three men here in the church that were standing down there with me. They said, what are you going to do? I said, I'm going up to change that spotlight. And they said, there ain't no way I'd go up that crazy ladder with it grabbing onto that I-beam barely and no wall behind it. I'm not going up there. I said, well, I didn't ask you to go up there. And at the time, I had a sciatic nerve that was so bad in my left leg that my left foot, I couldn't control it, and it was flopping around. I had no feeling in it. And they stood there, and I grabbed that light bulb and put it in my mouth. And I started going up that ladder, and my left foot was dragging up the bottom of that ladder. And one of those men said, stop! I'll go do it for you. I appreciate that man redeeming the time. I appreciate our comfort committee redeeming the time. I believe it was Thursday. I went back into the fellowship hall. And there was the comfort committee, Miss Babs and Tricia and Miss Sheila and Miss Cornelia. And they were back there. And they had a stack of cards that they were sending out to the different ones in the church, those shut-ins, those sick. And they were getting ready to leave. And they were going visiting. They were going to see our dear sister who's on her deathbed now. And two or three others that are too sick to come to God's house. Oh, I appreciate our comfort committee. I appreciate him redeeming the time. I appreciate what they did and do. I want to miss somebody. I'm not trying to get everybody. But I want to say I appreciate Brother Joe Honeycutt redeeming the time. Redeems his time on Monday night. He could be home enjoying retirement. And he's here doing his Bible study. I appreciate him redeeming the time. I appreciate him because he loves his class. He's got the most successful class in the church, not because he's the best looking, although he's a handsome devil. But I believe he's got a successful class because he redeems the time. He redeems the time with his visits. He redeems the time with the emails and the texts. He redeems the time in prayer. I appreciate him redeeming the time. I want to say to you just quickly on that, last night as I prayed, I was praying. I wasn't giving anything up. I was redeeming the time. And there's some of you that are here this morning that haven't been faithful for a long time. And I ask God to send you here this morning. Not because I thought a message I had or a song that Dave had prepared was for you. I prayed. I ask that God would send you. Because as your pastor, I love you. It's my privilege to redeem the time in prayer for you. I appreciate our teachers redeeming the time, studying on in their evenings throughout the week, preparing themselves to teach those individuals. I appreciate them praying for their class. I appreciate them redeeming the time. I appreciate Pastor Payne for redeeming the time. For 38 years, he redeemed the time for Westside Baptist Church. And he hasn't stopped redeeming the time. I appreciate him redeeming the time when he comes to me and encourages me. I appreciate him redeeming the time when he comes to me and supports me to others. I appreciate him redeeming the time for loving me. I know it's hard to become pastor emeritus and let, as he calls me, the whippersnapper. I'm a 53-year-old whippersnapper. Amen. I'll take it. I feel more whipped and snapped than anything else. But nevertheless, I appreciate him redeeming the time and encouraging and praying and speaking to me. I appreciate Brother William and Kim redeeming the time. See, you don't know because you're not here. But there's a lot of work that goes on during the week back in that little room with the hole in the wall back there where you see the cameras and all the things, the lyrics and the pictures and the advertisements, the announcements, all those things just don't jump up there on Sunday morning. But it happens because there are people dedicated. And in this dedication, what they are doing is redeeming or making good on the time that God has given them. I appreciate the Sunday morning breakfast crew, the men and the women who are rotating to fix breakfast for those young children that come in on the buses, many times that step over that passed out mother and father. Listen to me, church. Listen to me. Hey, kids, listen to me. If you have a mom and dad that got up and said, let's go to church, thank God for them. Because there's a bunch of them that get in that bus every Sunday that have to step over moms and dads that are passed out from drinking the night before. And they come in here combed, hair combed, and teeth brushed and clothes nice and neat, not because of godly parents, but because they got up to get on a bus so they could come and eat breakfast. And I thank God for you that are cooking, for redeeming the time for those young people. I've mentioned this before, but I can't help it. I appreciate Barry and Christy and Cora and Joseph and Christy again for redeeming the time throughout the week when I come by the church or I'm at the church and I hear the lawnmowers start and the weed eaters start and the blowers start. I appreciate them redeeming the time. Wednesday. Two Wednesdays ago, I was in the office, and while I was sitting there, Frank Jones came into my office. Hey, how you doing, Pastor? And he sat down and chatted for a few minutes. I said, well, what are you doing here? Because he was just chatting away, and we were having a good time of fellowship. And this is what he said. He said, I came by to cut the grass before baby Ryan's family gets here today or tomorrow after the funeral. He said, I want it to look nice when the family comes in tomorrow. I can't tell you how much that meant to me. He was working that night, but that afternoon he was off. He could have been home resting up, getting ready to work an all-nighter at the fire station. But yet he thought about a family in the church that was going to pull up on the campus with friends and other family members that are not members of this church. And they were going to see the lawn. They were going to see. And even though the lawn didn't look bad, it sure looked a lot better after he was finished. I appreciate God's people. I appreciate our deacons and trustees that redeemed the time. Folks, they take care of stuff that you know not of. They're busy little beavers, if I may say, and I appreciate what they do. Can I tell you something I'm not thankful for? Can I? This means you. I'm not thankful for those Christians that do not redeem but demean the time. I'm not thankful for those that demean their time with gossip. I get so sick and tired. Can I just tell you how I feel this morning? Can I take my spiritual face off and just tell you how I feel? I get so sick and tired of picking up the fallen, picking up those that have done wrong, try to support them and help them, and then find out that they've been running their mouths to church members in the church, telling people in the church how they've been mistreated. Well, I'm going to tell you what. We got a group of imperfect men, but I tell you what I've noticed about our trustee members and our active deacons is they go out of the way to try to do right by every church member in this building today. And I do not like the gossipers that demean the time and the leadership of this church so they can feel better about their sin. I don't like it. I don't appreciate it, and I'm not going to stand for it. I'm not thankful at all for Christians that demean rather than redeem the time that God has given them. On the way to church, I saw, and hey, I got angry. I wish I could say immediately I became sympathetic and I could tell you that I wept over them, but for a moment I got angry on the way to church this morning when, before I even got out of my neighborhood, there's some women walking in their walking tights. Oh, thank you for showing us all that cellulite, ladies. Thank you. Pushing those baby carriages, pushing those babies straight to hell. I got angry. I passed a beautiful four-door Jeep, lifted up off the ground, big wheels, tires and shiny wheels, and the top off of it. Man, beautiful vehicle. It broke my heart As I drove by that vehicle, they were waiting to turn left, and I was going straight. I can't tell you what the parents looked like. But in the back was a beautiful blonde-haired, blue-eyed little girl. And as I went by, she locked eye contact with me and watched me as I drove by. I got angry because there was a mom and daddy in the front seat of that Jeep, taking off for the day to enjoy the weather that God had given us, but yet turned their back on a Savior that died on the cross for their sins. I had to ask God to forgive me for becoming angry at them. And then when I began to pray, God helped me to become sympathetic concerning their lost state. I'm just telling you, I appreciate those that redeem the time, but I don't like it when I see those demean the time. And in closing, I want to say this. I thank Jesus Christ, my Lord and my Savior, the Redeemer of all men, who redeemed the time 2,000 years ago. He redeemed the time so that the demeanors could be redeemed. The only difference between those that are demeanors and not a demeanor is the redemptive power of Jesus Christ. Today, I believe we have membership of churches across this country that are on their way to hell. They're in the middle of the feel-good religion. Don't tell me about Jesus. Wednesday night, I told the church, I'd read an article. Churches were taking the cross down because it's offensive. Prepare to be offended. The gospel offends. We want a secular gospel, a humanistic gospel. We do not want a clear presentation of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Well, we'll accept that as long as the preacher doesn't tell us we're dirty, rotten sinners and on our way to hell. When's the last time you've heard the secular churches of the day speak of the hot, burning flames, eternal flames of hell? Turn on TBN. Go down here to Andy Stanley's church and let's just see how long it is before you hear about hell. Humanism has entered the church, but not Westside Baptist Church. I believe this is our job to redeem the time because the days are evil, according to verse 16. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. It's your job, it's my job to tell people about Jesus with a clear presentation of the gospel, that their minds and hearts would be turned to Christ. And they can't be turned to Christ if we're not preaching Jesus. So we're going to preach Jesus. You have to get over it. I ain't here to please. I'm just here to preach. I'm going to ask Brother Dave to come. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, I hate to inform you of this. I hate to break your heart. that you're on your way to a devil's hell. Hell was prepared, the Bible says, for the devil and his angels. The Lord Jesus Christ does not have a desire that one will fall into that pit. If you go to hell, it will be your choice, not God's choice. If you go to hell, you will put yourself there, in essence. That's one thing I want to suggest. If you don't know Christ today, during the invitation, come down and let us show you how you can be saved. But Christians, would you just close your eyes right now and bow your head? Would you do some reflection? Is there any area in our lives where we could redeem, make well, or more productive of our time for the Lord? And this morning, you find that time, but again, week after week, it slips away. Would you come down this morning and commit and say, Lord, if you will show me where that time is, I will commit this time to you. That's it. That's the invitation. It has to be simple or I could not say it. So as the pianist playing, I'm going to ask that we not even sing. I don't want you singing out conviction. I'm going to ask you right now, just stand where you are. The altar's open. Lord, help me to redeem the time which you've given me, that it will be done well and in your will and for your purpose. Help me, Lord, to redeem the time. We have some that are coming. Will anyone else say, Lord, I want to redeem the time.